Nebraska has a reputation of being a taxing state, and we all want tax relief, but also when you see agencies providing the services, you want them to be funded.
Right.
Election year two coming up.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Sure, yeah. Yeah.
He wants to try to beat Osborne, huh?
Yeah, I think.
Bill, is there anything you would add that I didn't really?
There are a lot of considerations out there before we do turn in a deficit request. And the other part is that a deficit request it's a different process than asking for additional funding for a regular budget cycle, if you will. And so it's looked at a little bit differently.
Right.
Do we know, after all the employee bumps and bumps all sorted itself out, do we know the full fiscal impact of that? And I guess the further question is this going to, I mean, what we've got in place now, is this going to be enough to keep us in balance for next year?
What we have in place, and if the spending patterns continue as they have, as I mentioned, they're doing a good job with it, then yes, it is going to keep us in line with what we need, to manage for this next biennium. The dollar amount of what the layoffs are saving us, do you know that off the top of your head, Bill? There was a time when I knew it, but I...
Right off the top of my head, I would say that it will be probably close to $250,000, maybe $300,000.
The other issue was this older blind money from the feds.
Yeah.
Do we know anything more about it, and do we know what we would spend that on if we got it?
Sure. Hang on one second. We have pizza arriving. So. Connie, here's my checkbook. I already signed the check if you've made it out and not to yourself. And add a little check. Thank you. Okay. Question about the older blind funds and what we know about that, right?
Right.
Okay. The increase in older blind funding for older blind program will occur after the Rehab Act and the Workforce Act are finalized, unless the formula is changed. But as it is now, both the House version and the Senate version have the changed formula so that our amount would increase. That how long it'll take for them to actually form the conference committee that has to put the two bills together and actually finalize and pass that act, who knows? You know, that's been in the works for a couple years now, and so we honestly don't know when that'll be happening.
But the fact both House and Senate have it, it looks like just a matter of when.
Right, I believe that's true. It would be something really, you know, a pretty radical change would occur, like if all of a sudden the effort to put all of Folk Rehab in with Workforce, if that were reborn, then that would be a problem. As it is now, that looks pretty well behind us for the moment, but you never know, that can always come up again.
Then as far as how we would spend that money, are we just gonna wait till we get it?
Yeah, well, we definitely have been looking at that. One of the things is, as it is now, we don't, all of the time that our staff spend on direct services to older blind individuals, both in the individuals and anything we do in groups or trainings that we provide, we don't currently cover all of that with the older blind funds. We kind of make it work with part of our Voc Rehab money. You know, the counselors out in the field anyway, and they're seeing people, they can stop by and see old Joe the same day, kind of thing. And so we really do need to get better at actually charging to the older blind grant the amount of hours that we spend providing services for older blind people. And so that actually will take a pretty good chunk if we, you know, were to really count that. And so I would like to see more of our older blind funds going to direct staff salaries to do that work. Beyond that, we want to do more specific trainings, the curriculum-based training that will provide sort of a home teaching plus setting, but for more people statewide. It's a different modality. I think I've talked to you before, but anyway, a new way of providing services that will get training to more people. So that'll be some additional costs. Then, you know, if there are funds for some of the things we used to do, we can look at it. But I honestly am kind of guessing that what the things that I've just mentioned will pretty well take up all the money of the of that grant for the most part. Currently, we received $225,000 from the federal government, and then we have to match it with another $25,000. It's supposed to go up to $350,000. Now, is $350,000 the total, or is that the amount that will be federal?
No, that's the amount that will be federal.
Okay, so it's supposed to go up to $350,000 from the feds.
Bill, this is Dorothy.
Yeah.
Did I hear you right? We still have a $250,000 to $300,000 deficit?
No. That was the amount of money that I thought that we would be saving by making the personnel test that we had proposed.
So will we have a balanced budget then after these layoffs?
It's going to be very close, yes. Balanced budget in an agency like ours is very difficult to tell you about because we are dependent upon the client that comes in the door, and so some cases are more expensive than other cases, and sometimes our client numbers go down, sometimes they go up. It's a kind of a moving target to hit. But yes, that's the way we have we've structured it, and we would anticipate that that's going to take care of the deficit.
Anything else? We can definitely go into more details if you have other things you want me to talk about or questions. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'd like to mention something. Bill mentioned that we are making a lot of different restrictions and different ways that we can operate with the clients. And yes, we are going to be able to go through this year. But the reason I believe that we are able to do that is we are cutting some services to the older blind. We are not aggressively recruiting more older blind either to provide services. So one of the reasons why we are thinking about putting a deficit request is because if we don't get some extra money from the legislators, we will be cutting services. It's going to be affected. We are laying off, or we are not filling out 6 positions, so it's going to be affected for sure, the quality of services we provide. Many times clients won't complain, not because we are not providing the services, but because they realize that we don't have the resources to provide the services. And the message that we want to say to the legislators is not to say we are doing okay, but on the contrary, we are not providing the services we used to provide, people. So that's what I want you to, you guys to understand, that we are cutting, or we will be cutting services to the older blind. And that's why we are approaching some of the senators to see in the mood of the unicameral, and hopefully be able to propose that.
Thank you.
Does anyone else have comments or questions about the budget? Are we ready to move to lunch, or do we want to?
Lunch is ready for you whenever you are ready for it. And the time is 12:02 on my watch.
Yeah, and rather than have it, you know, like get cold or whatever, that means we will be moving about 25 minutes worth of things to after lunch that were originally going to be before lunch. So
we'll have to talk twice as fast.
We'll catch up.
Okay. So we will break, you know, we have in the agenda, we have half an hour scheduled for lunch. So let the half hour begin, I guess.
Okay, let me, we have.
So if everybody can find your seats and thank you. Okay. We left off in the middle of the old business. We're ready for the website update. And we had some discussion at our last meeting about the minute files and how they would be sent. And I believe that through the process of emailing back and forth, we came to the conclusion that having them sent as they had originally been was the way to go. Is that correct, Val?
You mean as far as attachments?
Yes. And
yes.
How, yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so I don't think we need to discuss that further. We also had talked about the movies that we had received from the State Rehab Council Forum, putting those on the website. That got a little more complicated than we anticipated. And we did get a recommendation from Scott Standifer, who had been part of the creation of those movies, that it would make sense for us to post the I can't find
the transcripts,
yeah, but not the actual movies, because they're really large files, between 16 and 32 megs each, and he didn't think that the PowerPoint versions, which are also large, would be a good idea. He said that people with broadband connections could probably download them without too much trouble, but people with telephone modems won't be able to do it, and that would probably just be confusing. Also, there are multiple copies of versions of things on the CD, and you know, so that people can get various things in various ways, but they were developed for distribution to people hosting SRC trainings or similar functions, with the expectation that a tech person would read the instructions file, sort through all the versions and options, and decide which are most appropriate for use with, or you know, with his or her audience, and you know, or the presenter or technology people. So he thought that the captioned versions of the movies take a fair amount of computer savvy, and each one requires the use of three files, and so you know that all was sounding complicated enough that we decided that there were it probably wasn't a good idea just to start putting things up there. The transcripts and the annotated transcripts, that's what I was looking for, I think. So anyway, the recommendation is that we would probably do better to do the annotated transcripts, because those do have all of the language of things, and that's really what we're after, so.
May I comment?
Sure.
Yeah, that's what ends up sounding like the best idea, and that won't be terribly difficult to do. Just reading through it, it sounded pretty complicated, and there's been so much going on lately that I kind of put that aside. But if you all agree that you would like to have us do that now, in the next period of time here, we can check out those annotated and unannotated and figure out the difference, and then just get one set posted.
Yeah, there would be four of them, and he says that they're small and they're completely accessible,
right.
And that all sounds good to me.
You bet. I didn't understand the difference between the annotated and unannotated, so I do want to look at that. But yeah, I think having the one or the other of the text of the different movies up there would be real good. And really, the text is where it's at anyway. I mean, there are pictures that go with it on the movie, but there's nothing on the pictures that you really need. So we'll get that done.
Okay, and you know, again, I want to express our appreciation for Jim's work with the website and all of the changing over of emails and the changing of the website's name itself. We need to remind ourselves to go to www.ncbvi.ne.gov now, and that transition is taking place. I was looking at the minutes from our last meeting and the links to the other things. The webmaster's report is there, and the materials list is, and then there's a link to all of the other things. And I'm hoping that people know that if they go to the place that says link, at least on these last ones that are in draft status, that you'll get the first of the items. The others are listed there, and if you press enter on them, you will go to them, but that each one of those does not say the word link. And so I'm hoping that won't be confusing to anyone, but you know, I have found it really easy to get around in things in our website, and I'm really pleased with that. Is there anything else that anyone has about the website? Okay, the next thing is the status of rehab. Is there anything beyond the updates that we've been getting?
Other than what I talked about earlier today, I don't know if there's anything else new. I haven't heard anything newer. So I think we pretty much covered that earlier.
Okay. And Friends of the Commission?
Okay. I can tell you that they are working on their bylaws, and both making sure that they conduct the business that is required by their bylaws, and also looking at seeing if parts of the way it's set up now can be revised so that it's a little simpler and a little more user-friendly. So they're looking at that. And then also, we had requested of Friends funds to purchase a set of Braille books of the series, which I'm now blanking out on. What's the, pardon? Thank you, Colonel Books. Of course I know it, but I just, Colonel, K-E-R-N-E-L Books, a set of Braille. And the at the meeting that the Friends was going to vote on that, one of them said, here, I'll just pay you $50. So he provided a personal donation for that. So that was really nice. And we did get those books. I know we ordered them. Did we get them?
Yes.
I assumed we got them. Then also, they have completed the process of getting a automatic donation payment system so that people can sign up and have your checking account have money taken out automatically once a month for a donation if you choose to do that. The Friends itself will be at some point sending out information about that, and I think it's real important that I, as the director of the agency, don't send something to people which might imply, you know, that if you want to hang around, you really should be doing this. And so we have to be kind of careful about that. But it is in the works, and it's not in the works. It is set up. And so if any of you are interested in automatic donations on an ongoing basis, well, or even a one-time, to the Friends of the Commission, you could contact one of their members and do the little form that they need.
Is there a link to it on the...
They don't have a website yet, no.
Yeah, I didn't think so, because I had looked there and I didn't find anything.
Right, they will someday. Someday soon, but not yet.
Can we have a link to the form through our website?
I can check on that. At this point, they only had a print form and they had to mail it to me. And it needs a signature, so I think, I'm not sure whether...
Or at least the links...
If there was something saying that it exists, or who to contact to get it, everything could be sent to somebody and saying the one thing we need is something with a signature or whatever. But anyway, right now nobody can find out anything on the web to get to that I could find.
Would it be appropriate we could have a place on our website that isn't a link to Friends yet, since they don't have any site to link to, but it could be another page that tells about Friends of the Commission and gives the information people would need to make contacts, and possibly even has the form itself that would sit right on our website. I don't know if state regulations would have a problem.
I think that would create some, I think just having a link that steers for information about the commission, but certainly I have some real reservations if it had anything about donations to the Friends in there. I think if it just had, go to this site to...
There's no site yet, that's the point. But it could have some information about what Friends of the Commission is and how one would contact them. So we'll work on that.
And maybe we can ask the alumni division to tell us.
Well, do you mean in terms of the way to donate, or they are already a link, and they already have a website, and we have a link to them.
Yeah, but to ask the alumni division, they will have a link in their website.
Some of the grant goes there, they have a link to donations.
Oh, okay.
So, Bill Rester, do you see any problems with any of these kinds of links that eventually get to donations being...
No, I don't see any problem with that, but I see a problem might develop if they're just arbitrarily changing the bylaws, because they were set up according to law. And if they don't comply with the statutes. Right now they don't even have a board of directors. They have a committee, but they don't have a board of directors. So they're going to have to, it calls for annual meetings, and none of that's been complied with, so.
Right, and that's, they're really paying attention to change, that they are gonna do that.
Yeah, they've gotta do that, because that's essential, because, as I said, they just have a committee now, and the committee can't handle appointments and new members, forcing out funds and fundraising and all that just by one committee. This is a technical matter, just can't, I have to be real careful. Because they have internal revenue and Secretary of State looking down their shoulders when they do these things, so.
Well, would you be able to, you know, you're really knowledgeable about that. I wonder if you could get together with Mike Floyd and talk about it and let him know the specific things and, you know, maybe.
I intend to before, but I never, whether they can get ahold of him, but I'll catch him, I'll talk.
Great, thank you, that would really help.
Okay, is there anything else on that?
I don't have anything more.
Okay. Is there anything new on this?
Not that I know. Anyone else have anything new?
No. Okay, and we did not receive an NFB Newsline report, so we will go past that subject. Oh, and here we come to the status of the taped public meeting educational materials, which I have actually started to read, Dorothy, so someday you really will get them. Probably about the time that your term ends. But it's, progress is happening and I'll get them to you, it should be pretty soon. Okay, is there anything, I know that we received emails about Offutt, is there anything else on that?
Just that the order of dismissal of the evidentiary hearing was dated July 11th, and I received a final letter from the evidentiary hearing officer on July 21st, and as you mentioned earlier, that there isn't any opportunity for us to have vending at Offutt. Now, Howard Simons is president of the vendors committee. If, Howard, do you have anything else to add on that?
I have not heard the word on it.
Yeah.
The Air Force runs their own cafeteria.
Right.
They're gonna continue to do that. Mitch is in there doing the cleanup and stuff, instead of the outside out that they have.
Thanks.
Okay, thank you. And we've already talked about the issue of Braille on vending machines, so I don't think we need to discuss that further. And now would be the next time for public comment, if there is any. If not, we will now move to the items that were scheduled for after lunch. We're only 11 minutes behind at this point, so we're catching up. Is there anything new on the state plan?
No, I think it was at the last, or I kind of forget when, but we did get approval of our state plan.
Yes, that was at our May meeting.
Okay, I thought so. So no, nothing new with that.
Okay.
It relates to the next one, so.
Yes, the next one is the comprehensive statewide needs assessment pursuant to the Rehabilitation Act requirements of Section 101A15.
Wow.
Yes. I apologize for bringing up the topic. But I did, it's something I've been kind of wanting this group to look at for a while here, so I wanted to talk about it a little bit. The Rehab Act says in the section that Barbara just mentioned, under annual state goals and reports of progress, assessments and estimates, the state plan shall, one, include the results of a comprehensive statewide assessment jointly conducted by the state unit, that's the agency, and the state rehab council, if the state has such a council, in this case it's the commission board, every 3 years, describing the rehab needs of individuals with disabilities residing within the state, particularly the voc rehab services needs of individuals with most significant disabilities, including their need for supported employment, individuals with disabilities who are minorities, and individuals with disabilities who have been unserved or underserved by the voc rehab program carried out under this title, and individuals with disabilities served through other components of the statewide workforce investment system other than the voc rehab program, as identified by such individuals and the personnel assisting such individuals through components. Now, the key part of that, of course, is comprehensive statewide assessment every 3 years. What we do and what most agencies do is to write in their plan information about what the population is in the state, what the incidence of blindness in the case of a blind agency is, you know, some things about people with of minority populations and with multiple disabilities, and then obtaining input from people in the state about the needs of people with disabilities, such as at these public meetings and at the public forums that we either hold or attend, at the times that we go and speak to the consumer organizations, the BIPs organization, and so on. All of those, we get input from those, and we consider everything, and you know, if we can incorporate it into what we're doing, or if we're doing something wrong, if we can stop whatever that is, you know, that is part of our ongoing service system, and it's also part of what we write into the state plan every time. So, and that plan is approved every time, even though, you know, technically we're not doing a statewide comprehensive assessment every 3 years, not a systematic, you know, special tool that we would do. It's more of an ongoing process. But that is what is, the way that we do it now is approved by voc rehab, or by RSA, I should say. I wanted, so, you know, we could continue the way we are. However, I thought the board might want to consider if you want at some point to actually design some kind of comprehensive assessment that would be implemented statewide. Excuse me. That's certainly something that we could work on in the future. And so the old SRC, maybe about 10 years ago, I think, did a very systematic study of people who had been closed from our services. So it still wasn't, you know, a comprehensive statewide assessment, but it was phone interviews done by an interviewing company, and it was all set up in a, you know, really a good system. And we actually incorporated a lot of what we learned from that into what we're doing, what we've done since then and continue to do today. And I just wanted to kind of put it on the table and see if it's something you want to consider in the future, or if you like the way that we're assessing needs now, or if there's something we could do to improve the way that we assess the needs of the blind in Nebraska.
How much would the survey cost?
Well, it would depend on what we developed. You know, it's, those sorts of things can be real expensive. I don't think they're ever cheap.
Do you remember how much it cost 10 years ago? Or?
I think it was around $3,000. But I, that's, yeah. And that's, and I don't know if it was $3,000 for each. There was kind of a separate study of people closed having achieved their goals and those who were unsuccessful. So I know that I remember 3,000, whether it was for each one or total, I don't know. But nowadays, I'm sure it would be quite a lot more than that.
Any
What do you think?
If it isn't broken, don't fix it. It seemed to be working.
I think so. I don't know if there are, you know, populations that we're not hearing from, but I believe it that we have a pretty good system, but, you know, you can always, I guess if there are people we're not hearing from, we wouldn't know we're not hearing from them, so.
I would suggest, especially given the current situation, that we not launch into something that would undoubtedly mean more work for fewer people, or more expenditures for someone else to do something. I think that would be pretty, at best, insensitive of us at this point.
Yes.
And at worst, maybe unnecessary into the bargain. So, I mean, my initial thought about it is that we not do anything at this point. We appreciate your raising it with us, because we do want to make sure that we comply with everything that's supposed to be happening. But if this is an approved way of doing things, I would suggest that we not do something else at this point.
Could I make a comment on how this can be done without the cost or by cost?
Your name?
This is Mary Johnson. I was just linking up with a graduate school of statistics and having a person, probably a blind mathematician or a statistician, do this as their thesis project. Would make a good one.
That's a good idea.
And the airplane industry is a big answer to that. Why? Hiring my husband to do their simulation studies when he was a graduate student. And I'm sure that this could probably be done through a graduate school, you know, in a supervised way, you know, by a supervisor professor, by a qualified student. And it would usually mean it was somebody in the upper 5% of the class.
This is Pearl. I think that is a good idea. And, oh, you could hear it?
Yeah, I did want to hear it.
The idea was to about having a graduate student in statistics to do a study like this for their thesis project. And I said I thought that was a good idea, especially because the timing isn't so crucial. Sometimes, you know, you can't get a graduate student the term that you really want to get something done. But because this is something that it's just kind of out there, what we do now is approved, so we wouldn't have to change it. We could get the word to some professors to kind of be keeping in mind for a couple of years if they have somebody that would be interested in this kind of project that's isn't sure, you know, doesn't have some other project of their own already decided on. You know, maybe we'd have better luck with that.
Now, would that then be something that would be used over and over again, or would that be a one-time way of doing it? I'm not real familiar with.
Well, a model could be constructed for it to be done over and over again, but the person who does this would have to be able to research, design, and the correct formulas to choose those types of things for this type of population and this type of study. That's why it would require somebody in theory to do it properly. I would suggest blind students because of the best interest in making people better for blind people, as well as having a project that could be really, you know, that would have a part of it.
Yeah, of course, there aren't that many statistician graduate students in Nebraska, much less a blind one, but if there were, or if we could go outside of Nebraska. You know.
I would go international.
Yeah, that's good.
Because students are from all over, and that student, they will come to work here in the afternoon.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So. Well, certainly an interesting thought.
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay. The next item is having to do with the accommodation for interpreters for the deaf-blind. We had talked about this briefly at our last meeting. There were a few emails that went back and forth And as I said, I did attend the proclamation ceremony, which was the thing that brought this subject up. But since I don't think that it's necessarily a one-time kind of a subject, I thought if we would talk about it briefly, we might come to some suggestion or some way to move on that. One of the emails that was out there made a suggestion that perhaps I, as chairman of the board, do something, which I haven't done. Part of the reason I haven't is that in really thinking about this subject, I have mixed feelings about what we really ought to do. On the one hand, I think it certainly is a good idea for there to be the possibility of, and even the reality of, interpreters for deafblind folks wherever they want to be participating in something. Whether it's a good idea for us to expect the governor's office to have money budgeted is something that I'm not sure about. I initially, when people were talking about it, I thought, well, you know, we need to deal with reasonable accommodations and things like that. We also, though, need to deal with what it is that we expect as blind folks, deafblind folks, whatever we're doing and wherever we're going. Also, the governor's office is the last word on any issues, including any money issues, that we have as a commission for the blind. If we are asking for that entity to spend what, if you just look at a line item in a budget, looks like a huge expenditure for a very short period of time, that is to say, 1 hour, because I don't think that they are hired for less than an hour at a time, and I don't know exactly what interpreters make now, but I think it's quite a bit. And if that were to be like a line item in a budget that people would just be glancing down, fiscal people or whoever they are, and they were to say, wow, you know, if we start doing something like this, and then there are expectations all across the board of our doing that, we could really end up confusing people. And then it occurred to me, we have these commission board meetings every quarter or so. Have we ever once offered specifically to have interpreters at our meetings? I don't know if there's been a request, but I know that when we had the deafblind focus topic, if I remember right, Nancy Fleurl graciously interpreted, we did not provide that. If we don't do that, what would I, as chairman of this board, say to the governor's office? And then another thing is that the governor's office has the responsibility of delegating responsibilities for specific things through arms of state government, one of which is the Commission for the Blind. I think the governor's office can, and I think maybe even has said, okay, you guys are the experts on A, where to get interpreters, and B, who they are. How about if you do that? Again, there are mixed feelings and mixed approaches to what ought to happen. But as a governmental arm that takes orders from the governor's office, is it proper, if asked, for this agency to refuse that kind of a request or that kind of expectation? I'm asking. I mean, I'm not pronouncing something one way or the other, but I have really thought about this issue a lot, and my not having written anything to the governor's office or anything isn't because I was unwilling. It was because when I really sat down and started trying to think about what do I say, I couldn't convince myself, and so I figured I probably wouldn't do a real good job of convincing the governor either.
Barbara, is this a time for a comment or not?
Well, I'm willing to throw it open, I sure am.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
This is Nancy Guerrero. I was just going to let you know that Cheryl Koch was offered an interpreter and for that meeting, and she chose not to have one.
Okay.
So, just so that you know, for the record.
Okay.
She was offered, and she knew that she could have had it for any length of time, but she figured it would only be for an hour or so, and that was really silly because you have to block a two-hour period at least. For an interpreter, and on weekends